Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Yes, just when you thought it was safe to go back to your radio, we're back.
No, it's Jaws. This is, in fact, the Jaws weekend, so, no.
I forgot about that. You're right. How many years ago was that?
Oh, gosh, I guess it's 40 years now. Just a wild guess. I'm just thinking of seeing it in downtown Chicago in a theater that would be bathed in red lights every time the shark would do his sharky thing. It was really terrifying.
It's your shock thing. Do what you want to do. Steve Cochran is home today. I believe he's working very hard.
He's pressing his whites.
Is that what he's doing?
Yes.
Okay. And as you can tell, Johnny, since it is now after Memorial Day,
it's safe.
Johnny is wearing some white. I, of course, am wearing my fashionable summer black.
And he's not kidding.
Yeah,
man has easiest man in the world to do laundry for. I'm okay with that. Sure, I'll do your laundry because it's just all black stuff. Everything's black. Summer, spring, fall, winter. For those of us who abide by the fashion rules.
Yeah. Right.
But it's deeply ingrained in my soul not to wear white before Memorial Day because of my dear, sweet Southern mother who was lying in a hospital bed, just coming out of a comatose state, having had massive heart surgery. And she opened her eyes and said, "Honey, what day is it?" And I said, "It's Sunday." And she said, "When did I have the surgery?" And I said, "Friday." And she said, "What is tomorrow?" And I said, "Memorial Day." And she said, weakly, "Why are you wearing white pants?"
Well, she had her priorities.
It was Sunday. She lived.
She had her priorities.
She sure did. So don't bother to call and tell me, "Oh, that's so." Hey, when you're raised like that, it's hard to break those traditions.
We are here from now until noon, unless we lose the license before then.
Well, and we haven't in 31 years now, so knock on
hopefully,
wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. We got a bunch of things planned for you. A little later today, we're going to be joined by Corky Siegel and Eric Watts, a Grammy-winning...
Grammy-winning Ernie Watts.
Ernie Watts. Did I say Eric?
Eric, yes.
I was thinking of Eric Burden because I saw a thing just over the weekend that involved Eric Burden. And I
love the way your mind works.
I'm just kind of all over it. You know, too many Facebook images running around in my mind.
Speaking of Facebook, you can find us on Facebook at The Steve and Johnny Show. And you can just go to stevenjohnny.com and you can find out everything that we've been up to and where we're going to be next. And we've got events coming up with our book signing. For example, on Sunday, we're going to be in Wakanda, Illinois. And we're going to be visiting the folks from the Wakanda Historical Society. That's this Sunday afternoon.
It's going to be at 2 o'clock. And we're going to be helping the Wakanda Township Historical Society celebrate their 100th birthday at a special appearance and book signing that will be held at the Wakanda Township Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, up in Wakanda.
This is true. And we thought it was most appropriate because this would have been Les Paul's 100th year on Earth, and our book is all about Les Paul, and so that's what we come out, we talk about him, and we answer your questions, and we just hang out with you, and we sign books, and we have a great time, and we've been all over the place. We've been everywhere from Rockford to Downers Grove, Florida, Nashville.
Florida, Nashville, we've been literally, and if you're not familiar with the book is called A Little More Less, and it's about an 18-year friendship we were fortunate to have with Les Paul. Yes, Les Paul is much more than just a name on a guitar. He's the man who pioneered the electric guitar. He's responsible for most of the electronic technology that is now taken for granted by the recording industry. He was just an incredible man. And we have a special on that book.
to celebrate another incredible man.
Well, I don't know about
that. My husband, who's celebrating 50 years as a professional broadcaster.
That was scary to realize that it was
years.
Back in 1966.
It was scary for you. It was terrifying for me to realize it.
1966, that I started in radio on WJOB in Hammond. And in honor of that, our publishers have been nice enough to say that through the month of May, because this means you've only got a couple days, through the month of May, you can get our book for $19.66. And you can find out how to get it. You can go to wgnradio.com/Les Paul book.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a number you can call to, and I'm going to have to dig up the number.
Yes. Or just go to stephenjohnny.com and click on the picture of Les, the cover of the book. Someone sent me an email the other day and said, why don't you offer it at 1966 prices? I thought, no, that ain't going to happen because that'd probably be like $7.95. Can't do that because it actually is. We're very proud of it. It's a beautiful book. It's like a small coffee table book. It's all shiny and full color and nice paper that's Orion paper. That's the name of the paper.
It really is. We didn't know this till after we found out from our publishers that, you know, every font has a name. Well, apparently every paper has a name. And the name of the paper that our book was printed on is Orion paper.
Of course.
So, point is, if you'd like to take advantage of the special offer only through the end of May, so you've only got a couple more days, and it's $19.66, and we're proud of the book, and we hope you will pick it up, and we think you'll like it.
And you can get it just in time for Father's Day, too.
Yeah.
But this is Memorial Day, and looks like the city's kind of sort of coming to life. It was great driving in this morning because the Kennedy and the Edens were wide open. Construction is typically suspended for, I say typically, because there's some places like Indiana where 24/7 it seems they do construction, and it always seems it's in the same places. We say this as people who travel I-65 going back and forth to Florida, and traveling through six states is delightful until you get to Indiana.
And trying to navigate Indianapolis at night is horrible.
They apparently
and I love Indianapolis. I spent 2 years in radio in Indianapolis at WIBC and WNAP. Love the city, hate the traffic, hate the streets.
But they don't pay their light bill.
No.
And you then realize how fortunate we are in Chicago, because when you're driving down the Edens, the Dan Ryan, or whatever, in the middle of the night, you can see the signs that tell you what your exits are and your mile markers. And no, we're not perfect. And I know this state is in dire straits. We're just saying, when it comes to traveling through a major city, Indianapolis can be a nightmare. But yesterday, that's where everybody was, and it was really an exciting race yesterday. And we've got so much to talk about.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. In for Steve Cochran this hour, because Steve is home pressing his whites.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, and smoking his meat.
A whole different subject. I'm not going to go there.
I know, Steve. We saw him on Friday. He did a great job emceeing the Walk of Fame ceremony.
He did.
He and Steve Bertrand were awesome. And it was so good to be down here. In fact, we've been down to the radio station more times in the past week than we've been in the past year.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's true. We've got a lot going on. Dave Schwann was nice enough to wander down here. And
always want to come in and say hello.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, well, actually, he came in to get some cake.
Well, that too. Yes.
a little coffee cake action. No, actually, he was very surprised to see coffee cake.
And Dave and I started in radio at the same location.
We did. WJOB in Hammond, about 12, 14 years apart. And it's funny you should mention that, Steve, because I saw your post on Facebook just a couple of weeks ago that it is now 50 years since you started at the Bright Spot, 12:30 on your dial.
That's right.
And I just happened to have
what is this?
Some WJOB Pepsi platter survey.
Oh, these
from
the Action Sound Survey
from 50 years ago.
Oh,
these are in my collection. I think I showed these to you also. This is from when
one.
You were at WLTH.
Oh, yeah.
So Steve went from JOB to LTH. May I see one, please?
Let me back up and say that the Action Sound Survey was largely because of a terrific talent who, unfortunately, we lost a few years ago, Jan Gabriel.
Jan Gabriel. Brilliant.
WJOB was what was termed in those days an MOR, or middle-of-the-road radio station, during most of the day. But from 7 at night till midnight.
Which was your shift.
No, till 1 in the morning. Jan Gabriel was on.
Yeah.
And he did top 40 and just had a whole lot of fun.
I want to show Kevin Richter, our producer, the picture of you from 50 years ago.
Look at that.
Look at that hair. Oh, my gosh. That is a killer pompadour.
Now that's from WLTH.
Oh, right. That was 69.
Where I segued.
So that was only 47 years ago.
Because I was a JOB from May of 66 till roughly May, April of 67 when I went over to LTH, and I stayed with them till October of 69 when I segued down to Indianapolis.
And it was WIBC was this, yeah.
IBC and NAP.
And WNAP.
Yeah. WNAP was the first rock and roll FM station in Indianapolis. Pioneering radio station.
I remember it because when I was a student at Ball State, that's what we listened to.
Yeah.
And the top of the hour ID said, "The Wrath of the Buzzard." I don't know where they got that, but it was.
That was done by Chuck Riley, a terrific guy. He used to do afternoons at WIBC, and for a while he was on the left coast doing the voiceovers for CBS.
Okay.
After he left Indianapolis. But he had one of these big, booming Orion Samuelson voices, and it was just.
Yeah.
The Wrath of the Buzzard.
That's what it was.
Melt the microphone kind of voices.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought you'd
get a kick
out of it.
So you joined
in WJOB?
What year?
1978.
Oh, okay, because I started on radio in 77.
77, yeah. I was there 78 through June of 81.
So where were they located? Because when I started, it was at 6405 Alcott,
yep.
Just behind Smith Chevrolet.
And think they're still there to this day, Steve.
See, I thought they moved. I thought they were bought by someone else, and I think they moved to a different location.
The WYCA, the FM station, I think is on North Calumet Avenue or Holman Avenue, maybe. But the AM, WJOB, was at 6405 Alcott,
Back
of Smith Chevy.
Right outside the studio was this big 400-foot tower.
Yeah.
Right behind the radio station.
Did you ever get crazy and climb it?
No, but Jan Gabriel tried to one.
I bet.
He really did.
You can still see that tower from the Indiana Toll Road and from the Borman Expressway.
Our tower was bigger than your tower out in Aurora.
WAUR?
And MRO.
And MRO?
On Eola Road. Back then, it was just a cornfield with a big tower sticking up. And now it's gorgeous condominiums and beautiful houses. And the radio station's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve, I would be chomping at the bit to go over to Woodmar Shopping Center. Comey's Jewelers, a jewelry store.
Yes, a jewelry store.
Awesome record department.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
A jewelry store with records.
Yes,
you had to
and your
see
point
it to
is,
believe it.
Wow.
And I used to love going over to Comey's.
Because
they had great old-time vinyl. That's really good stuff.
And jewelry.
Individual booths where you could take the record and listen to it.
Time out.
Yeah.
I could go buy jewelry and Steve could get records.
Yeah. You got it.
And this was back in the day when you would ask them for a copy of the current 45.
So you
and you would take it into the booth.
Yeah.
And apparently nobody was concerned with scratches in those days.
No, people wouldn't do that kind of thing.
No.
It was a different time and a different mentality.
Well, I will give these back to you, but
I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Thank you. That is
pristine copies of the surveys with hair and bus stop and music that's still being played today because it was just good music.
Something The Age of Aquarius from Hair, The Fifth Dimension.
But that's back when Top 40 was legitimately Top 40 because you could go from an instrumental. Like the Music Box Dancer would then take you to something that was a hard thing.
Well, that
like
is, I'm not one of these people that says, oh, things are better in the old days. But the one thing that I really feel today's younger generation is missing is the wide variety of things that you used to hear.
Completely.
On the same radio station, I could hear Frank Sinatra, Led Zeppelin, Beatles, Perry Como, and that's a great musical education.
Right.
And speaking of education, they don't have radio stations like that to get an education.
Yeah.
Now you're
so fragmented.
And small radio stations are now picking up
syndicated programming.
Yeah.
So you can't go in there and get your feet wet and say, am I good at this? Is there a chance that I can do this for a living?
Those first jobs. jobs in stations
you
like
don't
that
get
just
that
aren't
anymore.
There anymore. Yeah. And that's very, very sad.
It is. A listener texts from 219 area code and said WJOB radio moves south on Indianapolis Boulevard close to Purdue University in Hammond.
Oh, they did
I thought
move
so.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Well, before, I haven't been there for 35 years myself.
I believe, forgive me, the guy who now does that, Jed, I believe he used to be a former mayor of Hammond or something like that.
Wow.
And he recognized the importance of keeping this a local radio station and managed to buy it. So
yeah.
good for him.
Yeah. He'll be getting our bill for this 20-minute
yes, he will.
Commercial.
I think it's Tom McDermott, Steve. Does that
really?
Sound right?
The name sounds familiar, yeah. but he's not the guy that does the morning show.
Oh, the guy that does the morning program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, let me bring this full circle. Today is what radio show for us on WGN. I keep tabs on this because when we had our 5,000th show, the governor came in and recognized it as Stephen Johnny Day. Officially, you couldn't even get a free Starbucks on
Do you want to make that a quiz?
Yeah. If you can guess within 1,000. If you can guess within 1,000 what show this is for Stephen Johnny on WGN Radio.
312-981-7200.
We'll give you a copy of our book.
I hope you can break for a couple minutes because I need to get back to the newsroom and do your 9:30 news.
We can do that.
Actually, we're going to break for about 30 seconds because we want to see how fast you can do this sprint.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Scoop
you bet.
Dave. Thanks.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right. Oh, yeah. When I was a little girl, only 12 years old, I couldn't do nothing to save my doggone soul. Told me the day I was grown, she said, sing the blues, child, sing it from now on. I'm a woman, oh yeah, I'm a woman.
Everybody put your hand on the radio, say woo. Amen.
And if you don't feel something, call The Undertaker right now. I got goosebumps big time. That's the one and only Coco Taylor.
Yeah, sure miss her.
God bless her.
Oh, boy.
What a voice.
I'm woman. Well, I'm woman, and that's the blues, and that's a perfect way to segue into our next guest.
Who happens to be wearing the T-shirt that says, Coco Taylor, I am woman, on the front of her T-shirt. She is Lynn Orman Weiss. And Lynn and I said, thank goodness for Facebook, because I feel like I just saw you yesterday.
Absolutely.
Because we
daily
see each other on Facebook.
I love it.
Lynn is the creator and curator of this amazing new exhibit. It really is a labor of love for you, isn't it?
It is a labor of love.
And
yes,
it's Women of the Blues, captured in photographs, right?
Captured in photographs. And, you know, each one of them has a unique story that tells the vision. I call it a winged thought through a click. Because, you know, I'm elbow to elbow with photographers in pits in photo pits at Chicago Blues Festival, maybe in the Poconos, maybe, you know, all over, or in a club in Los Angeles. And each photographer has a unique vision to these women. And then we often don't see, because what I said is actually, you know, we have, it's still a widely dominated male music genre. And so to be able to have all of these women, I mean, there's hundreds of them, thousands of them around the world. So to put this collective together is just a labor of love.
So blues, not just a Chicago thing for people who think, oh, well, you know, Seattle has their music and Chicago has theirs. Our roots are really run deep in blues in Chicago. But you've settled for, and I know it was hard to settle because if you're talking hundreds of pictures, 60 pictures to put in your exhibit.
That's right. 60 I went through about 400 photographs.
Wow.
And just picked the most. I wanted it to be intergenerational.
Uh-huh.
So we have everybody from Tamika Dixon, who was the granddaughter of Willie Dixon, which we were just talking about, Steve, to Irma Thomas, Mavis Staples, and the Queen of the Blues, Coco Taylor.
Yeah.
I want it to be a little bit more current, so I didn't go all the way back to like Alberta Hunter and some of the, you know, but I, in my dream, mm-hmm. with more wall space,
yeah,
I would have that.
Before we get too far afield, for anybody who might be interested in going, let's do the who, what, when, and where. So
okay.
Where is it going to be, what time, what's cost, and all that?
It is, there's no cost. It is sort of a museum salon-style curated exhibit, so which with hope to be able to bring it to museums and to the Hall of Fame in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no cost to come, although I want to say that it is a tribute to Coco Taylor and the Celebrity Aid Foundation,
okay.
and the Sisters of Royalty. So there's donation box there. So anybody
oh,
that wants to make a donation to the Coco Taylor
and
Foundation,
the location is?
It is at Fire Cat Projects, which is a really cool space at 2124 North Damon Avenue in Chicago. It's just a little bit south of Fullerton Avenue.
Now, you had your
Did you pick that address intentionally? Because it's so close to 2120
oh,
South Michigan Avenue.
I never thought about that, Steve.
See, I'm here to
wow.
help. I'm here to
and
help.
And why would that be significant, Steve?
Chess Studios.
Chess 2120
Studios,
of course.
North Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
Or South Michigan Avenue.
That's
South
right. Michigan
yeah.
Avenue.
Record Row. Record
yeah.
Row.
The exhibit opened up with a reception this past Friday night, but it's
it
going to run for a couple more weeks. You had a great turnout of people, too.
Oh, right? My God. I'm, you know, verklempt. I'm so humbled. And it was amazing. Most of the photographers, although I have to say, many of the photographers are coming in from out of the country. So Francois Digel is coming in from Cognac, France. Jennifer Noble, who is a very well-known Chicago photographer, now lives in the UK. She's coming in from the UK. Mario Santos is coming in from Portugal.
Wow.
So, you know, the Chicago Blues Festival, there's photographers from all over the
mm-hmm.
world. And then, of course, there's remarkable photographers from Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. And some of them, this is their first photo exhibit ever, and they're mm-hmm. extraordinary.
So more often than not, they're diehard blues fans that go to enjoy the music, and then they have to express their love of the music through their pictures. Is that how it works?
I think many of them are doing this professionally now. I mm-hmm. mean, this is it may be their passion, or they may have other jobs, but you know, they are. This is what they do. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they are consummate blues fans,
right?
And they just tell this unique story through their lens.
Well, I think of Roman Sobis.
Roman Sobis is on his photo. This is his first exhibit.
Uh-huh.
He's only been shooting for 2 years.
He took the picture of Kate Moss.
Oh.
Kate, who's been in our studio before. Kate, who has the best arms.
The best arms.
Oh, my gosh.
Who is one of the hardest working women,
she
not only in blues,
graphics.
On the planet.
But when
She's
she plays
incredible.
That Fender guitar, those guns are like, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And she's not a really big woman, but Roman captured her in the photograph beautifully. And that's one of the 60 in the exhibit.
Yes, and Kate will be there along with a number of the other women of the blues on Wednesday, June 8th. Your listeners are invited. It runs from 7 to 10 p.m. at Firecat Projects.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the Blues Festival kickoff night. Something unique, the world premiere. It's, you know, nobody's
Great.
Ever put this collection together before, so I'm really excited.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Lynn Orman Weiss, and we're talking about truly a labor of love for her. She's the creator and curator of Women of the Blues, this coast-to-coast collection. We've got it right here in Chicago, and you really should avail yourself of these wonderful pictures and of the music of the blues. In fact, coming
yeah.
up later on this morning, we have a guy stopping by here, he and a friend who we've never had the good fortune to meet,
mm-hmm.
but Corky Siegel's been in our studio many times over the years, harmonica
Corky
giant.
Corky and I used to work together.
Yes, 100 years ago. And joining Corky will be Ernie Watts, who is a Grammy-winning, extraordinary saxophone.
Legendary saxophone.
Absolutely. So, big day today.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is one of the most amazing women you will ever see, Marcia Ball. We've been fortunate to have Marcia in the studio and on the show many times. For those of you who have never seen Marcia Ball, imagine this very prim, proper,
tall,
her nickname is her tallness, school teacher, walks out, sits down at the piano, and starts wailing.
Yeah.
And the crowd goes nuts.
How about when she sits down and she's so tall, she has to kind of sit sideways to cross her leg. And then when her hand's at the piano, you go, whoa, she smokes.
I know.
We're talking about women in the blues. And, you know, we were talking off the air, the woman that's featured on your poster for the exhibit, Women of the Blues, Coast to Coast Collection, that is Holly V. Maxwell.
Yes.
That woman is a presence. I mean, that is an amazing picture. Who took the photo of Holly?
That photo was taken by Peter Hurley, and it was taken at the 2012 election night, where we had a gathering of 12 of the Chicago blues divas on stage who maybe don't always interact together on one stage. And he captured, there's six of his photographs of women in red, white, and blues. I call it red, white, and blues, and American flags. Everybody from Holly V. Maxwell, Nellie, Tiger Travis, Peaches Statton, Dietra Farr, our Chicago blues mamas.
Right.
And on stage. So that was wonderful. And there's some other extraordinary photos of Mavis Staples and Ruthie Foster and Alexis P. Sutter, who is a very new, young artist that's up and coming. Irma Thomas, who's going to be featured at Chicago Blues Fest this year.
She's so cool.
These are, like Steve, you were just talking about Screaming Jay Hawkins. Yeah. The stories behind these women.
Mm-hmm. Well, Holly, you were just telling us she started out studying opera.
Opera at age 8. Her first performance was at the Civic Opera House. And then she went to Paris.
Wow.
And was performing there. And she was a mainstay performer on the R&B and the soul, all the clubs, like the Green Bunny and High Chaparral and all of those clubs.
Oh, High Chaparral. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Before coming back to Chicago.
A listener wants to know if you've been to the new Blues Museum in St. Louis.
I have been.
And wants to know, is it worth the trip?
It is worth the trip, and I would say it'll be worth the trip hopefully maybe in March when I get the exhibit there.
Okay.
That's just a wish for me. No, it is really extraordinary. It takes you through everything from the Chicago, through the period of the Great Migration, all the way to rock and roll blues, so everything to Zeppelin and the Stones and the Paul Butterfield Band.
Yeah.
And so it's great. It really is worth the trip. And I suggest to take the train there. It's a wonderful trip.
Now, you just spent quite a bit of time down in Memphis.
Yes.
For the, it's a huge, huge honor to be recognized for the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And our very own Chicagoan was recognized, wasn't he?
He was. Eddie the Chief Clearwater and Jimmy Johnson.
Two fabulous entertainers.
Two extraordinary, incredible bluesmen hailing from Mississippi, Eddie from Macon and Jimmy from Holly Springs. And they are the real deal, both of them. You need to go see their live shows. They're in their 80s. And as Steve and Johnny and I were just saying, it's so important to go out and see live music.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when Eddie was in studio with us, the way the studio was set up at that time, he sat next to me and I knew how old he was. And I'm like, real close. Oh, my gosh. If that man looks a day over 60, it's amazing considering a hard life of, struggling to get your music out there and to make a living. And that's tough. And he's in a really good place now. And it was so great that he was recognized by the museum.
And one of the real highlights of the time that we were hanging out overnights was getting to jam with Eddie.
Oh, yeah. He loves you
with
guys.
With your two red guitars jamming together, right?
Are you a left-handed guitar player?
No, I'm a right-handed.
Which made it perfect.
Yes, perfect.
The way he does it is just wrong, but it's so cool.
Upside down and left-handed.
Yeah.
But it was great because they could sit side by side, and they wouldn't elbow each other.
Yeah.
So they could play
works.
Side. So we got great pictures of them playing together.
Well, you need to come out and see him because Sunday, the last night of Blues Fest on the 12th, he will be headlining with his band, and then he's doing a tribute to he's part of that mega all-star tribute to Otis Rush
on
Sunday night.
Yeah. And Otis, may I miss him?
May I just say thank you to Mary May from the Chicago Blues Festival for taking, letting me put together this unbelievable Jumbotron photo exhibit on the screen at Blues Fest. So a number of the women who are actually performing at Blues Fest will be on the Jumbotron.
Nice. Well, you are a busy, busy woman, and thank you for doing what you do.
And real quick, before we let you get out of here, again, for people who just tuned in, who, what, where, when can they see the exhibit?
Okay.
And where?
The exhibit is at Firecat Projects, and it goes through June 18th, and it is open from, the gallery is open from 10 to 4 daily, and it's firecatprojects.org, or you could go to my site, ormanmusic.com. And the reception kickoff for Blues Fest is Wednesday, June 8th. And everybody, you know, you're invited to come out and see it. I really...
And that reception is from 7 to 10.
7 to 10.
On June 8th, 2124 North Damon Avenue.
Right.
And if you can stop by there, you really should. It's free. You get to see 60 photographs, gorgeous photographs of women of the blues. And it's a coast-to-coast collection, and it's a labor of love on the part of our guest, Lynn Orman Weiss. Again, thank you, Lynn. Pleasure to have you in
studio.
Thanks
a lot, Lynn.
I'm so honored to be here with the both of you. You have inspired me for many, many years.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll talk again.
Take care.
We'll take a break. More coming up, WGN. Nice, Kevin. Who is it?
This is Buzz Skaggs.
Oh, yes.
Good choice.
Buzz Skaggs, the man with the coolest name in rock and roll.
Buzz Skaggs.
You know, his mama looked down at her baby and said, he looks like a Buzz.
That's my little baby, Buzz.
It's so great that after all these years, you still make me laugh. It is. It's either that or the sugar is kicked in.
I think it's the sugar is kicked in.
Because I made this little coffee cake because I maintain that calories don't count when it's a holiday and you're working.
Well, of course not.
That's been my excuse for all these years. This little coffee cake is a apple, so you get good things from apples.
Yeah.
Apple, multi-spice coffee cake with a brown butter frosting. Yes.
It works for me.
A whole stick of butter browned until it's almost burned. Then you add the sugar and the vanilla flavoring and the milk, and it's all good. It is. And no calories either.
This show is going by way too fast.
I know.
It always happens every time we jump back in here.
Yeah. And Andy Mazur just stuck his head in. It's great to catch up with people that we've worked with for so many years. And Andy and I were just reminiscing about the fact that the first time he was ever butt dialed was by me, and the first time I ever butt dialed anybody was Andy, because he was A in my phone.
Yeah.
And when we first got phones, I would carry it in my pocket in case my folks had to call me for any reason in the middle of the night. And I didn't realize that there would be nights when Andy would be listening to the whole show, because early in the show I would accidentally dial him and then not realize it, and he was just lying there in bed listening to the whole show. And then I'd look down and go, oh no, I've had Andy on the phone for the last 4 hours. Good memories.
Well, speaking of old friends, we were here for the Walk of Fame ceremony, and boy, it was great to see the people that were inducted into the Walk of Fame. And
Floyd Brown,
yeah.
Did my heart good to see him. We were huge fans of Floyd. We used to follow him on Sunday night. And Floyd had...
There's a man that should write a book.
Yes, he really should. And he's had some real challenges. He had a stroke 3 years ago. But when that microphone came on, whoo, what a voice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Speaking of what a voice, we look over and lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, your Big O.
Good morning.
Good morning, Orion.
I have finished milking the cows, and the morning chores are done in the dairy barn, and so I found time to join you at your invitation. Thank you for the opportunity.
Since it's after Memorial Day, the cows are allowed to give white milk?
Yes. Oh, yes.
As and Orion fact, is all happens. Washed up, and he's wearing his white slacks now. I know that.
Yep. And when we get to the June Dairy Month breakfast on the farm later this month, then you will see that even though the cows are black and white, they still give white milk.
So this is June Derek, we remember over the years, we always got excited because we could have ice cream for breakfast during June because it was right. Dairy Month. Remember, mm-hmm. I'd say, yay, we get to have ice cream. And Oberweis used to bring us ice cream just so we could do that at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And June Dairy Month gets underway on Wednesday. Wisconsin, I think, takes the lead in the number of dairy breakfasts on the farm. But here in northern Illinois, we've got one coming up 3 weeks from today, and you're going to be there.
Thank you for letting us tag along. This is going to be a fun event.
It is. I'm tickled because you said that people can actually see cows milked and maybe even touch a cow.
Oh, they can touch a cow. They can, and the kids can touch calves. And if the kids want to sit in a huge farm tractor, they can do that. They won't let them drive it, but they can sit in the seat.
Uh-huh. But they'll want me to drive it. I know that when I get out there. Yeah. They'll say,
or in.
Be afraid.
Because that's kind of my fantasy. The closest I've ever come is had my picture taken sitting up on a tractor, and I was just like shaking, please let me turn it on. So this is going to be where exactly, oh?
Okay, it will be at the Lindale Holstein Farm, which is near Hampshire, Illinois. We're in Del Webb, Sun City, and Huntley. And at one time, the Drendel family owned a farm. My house could be in the milking parlor that was once here because the Drendel farm was one of the three that Del Webb purchased to do Sun City. And so then Linda and Dale Drendel moved to the Hampshire area. And they'll be hosting the breakfast 6 to 11 a.m. If you want to see cows being milked, probably be there before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. They will have their milking demonstrations, but you'll also have the opportunity to see how they take care of the young dairy calves and the heifers and then the adult cows. And then comes the breakfast. A donation only $8 for adults, $5 for children. And those proceeds will go to dairy education in local schools, but they'll be serving pancakes, sausage, applesauce, cheese, milk, coffee, and Johnny, they'll serve ice cream.
I know. Custard is on the menu, which is crazy. It's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, all of this is for the cost of $8 for adults. That's crazy. That's a huge morning on the farm. That is so much fun.
You know, to have the good breakfast and then to see the activity that takes place. And it's the Dairy Farmers of DeKalb and Kane Counties that sponsor the event. Bill Lenshaw, who has been a friend for decades, a dairy farmer. I talked to Bill this morning, and he was thrilled that Steve and Johnny would be there. He said, my golly, they were always on the barn radio when I was milking cows.
We had a lot of people that would tell us that. Yeah, that they got up early to do their chores and that we would keep them company. And he helped them wake up, tell them what the weather was or whatever. So it's really going to be an honor to be out there.
And we should back up a little bit and say that Orion's book and our book and Max's book are all published by the same publishing company. And you'll be able to get some books signed and like that, too.
And say hi
absolutely.
To all of us. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be selling books, signing books. And I always say, if you got my book as a gift from somebody and want it signed, bring it there. But the only thing that I remind people, the value of a signed book only goes up when the author dies. So this is a long-term investment.
Good point.
It's a long-term investment.
You are right. Well, for anyone who hasn't picked up your book, they really should, because talk about a man who has stories to tell, and thank goodness they were captured between the cover of this gorgeous book with one of my favorite pictures ever of you on the front, Orion. Which reminds me, Orion is wearing a cool farm outfit on the cover. Great jeans, work shirt. I get to go shopping for an outfit for breakfast on the farm.
Yes, you do. Yeah, yes. And I tell you, I have to mention the fact that this weekend, Harvard Milk Days in Harvard, Illinois, the 75th edition of the Salute to the Dairy Industry, because at one time this county was full of dairy farms shipping milk into Chicago for the consumers of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so the folks at Harvard said, this is an important industry, we're going to salute it. And they started 75 years ago. It's still going strong, and I'll be up there on Saturday. I'm seeing their breakfast. So invite people to come and join us there,
nice.
Too. But
you just made me think of something that I haven't thought of in years. This is a weird segue. My first memory of milk delivery was the glass bottles delivered
right.
once a week from the Bowman Dairy. Do you remember
yeah.
the Bowman Dairy?
Yes, there. Oh, yes. That
Are they
was
still
a well-known
around
name.
At all?
No.
I remember
no,
Borden. B-O-R-D-E-N, Borden's, but you're saying
yes,
Bowman.
There was Bowman and yeah. Borden, and of course then Dean's Milk.
Of course,
right.
Yeah, still drink Dean's.
Which came out strong
yeah.
in, the, yeah. In this area. So.
You know what's funny, too, or in, spending a lot of time in Florida, milk can taste different from region to region.
Oh, boy,
and
does
I think
it.
It's the dairy that you get accustomed
yeah.
to.
Well, like, I think, yeah, that's part of it, but the feed, very often it's
oh.
the feed that will flavor the milk. As a matter of fact, growing up on the dairy farm in Wisconsin, I remember how we dreaded the fall season when acorns would drop from the trees in the pasture, and that definitely changed the flavor of the milk
what
during
that
time.
What did it do
time.
To it?
Pardon?
What did it do to the flavor? Did it?
It changed it dramatically. It didn't make it bad, but it uh-huh. was certainly different from what we'd been getting off the grass pastures huh. during the summer, and the acorns that cows love to eat sort of changed the flavor.
That reminds us. I know, Steve, you're thinking of this piece we saw the other day about Aragon oil. A R A G A N comes from Morocco.
Do you know anything about this, Ryan?
It
is actually an oil that it's like liquid gold. If you go to high-end beauty salons, they might use a little Aragon oil to smooth your hair.
And, well, I don't go to beauty salons. So.
Well, this Aragon oil comes from a place in Morocco where the goats climb trees. I mean, they're like ballet dancers. They climb these narrow little limbs to get out on trees to eat the Aragon nut. Now,
A bunch of people who wait for the nut to be processed through the goat.
And then they go around and they hand pick them up off the ground. And then there are people in the community that crack open these nuts, which is the byproduct of the goat. And then they grind it. And these people, now this is crazy, they have done so well with Aragon oil, they've been able to travel to buy houses. These are like peasant women whose lives have changed because of the demand for this oil coming from goats that climb trees in Morocco.
Certainly sounds like a field trip for me.
I know. I know. You are absolutely right. Well, speaking of field trips, we're going to see you on Saturday, and we are just tickled. The 18th
It'll be Saturday,
of June.
Saturday, the 18th of June, right?
3 weeks from today.
And we can be there as early as 6 in the morning, and I think we will because I want to see all the things that happen before you get there at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'll be there about 8 o'clock, set up the book table, and. Say hello to people.
Good, 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 Orion. We'll be honored to be there with you, but I am just, my dad's going to come along too, because dad was just telling us as we were driving back from Florida, back in the day when he used to milk his goats and sell the goat milk,
yep.
he said, but I could never milk a cow. And I thought, maybe after 82 years, we can teach him how to do that.
Well, at least show him how, but you know, cows are now milked by machine. And,
oh, yeah.
Very unusual to milk by hand.
Well, you know what my dad just said? Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I heard him from the north side.
Well, you know, I am a 5-time Illinois State Fair cow milking champion, and I retired undefeated. I now do demonstrations on cow milking at $10,000 is what I charge for that.
Well, Orion, enjoy your day today. You're back behind the microphone tomorrow morning, right?
Back tomorrow morning. Another agricultural enterprise today. I'm going to Arlington Park Racecourse.
Oh.
You know, that's agriculture.
I know
versus,
it is.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. A quick question. A listener from 847 wants to know if Max will be with us on the 18th.
And I doubt that he will.
Yeah.
We talked about it Friday at the Walk of Fame event, and I think his schedule just doesn't allow him to make it. But if it changes, he will be there.
That's right. Okay.
But his book will be there.
Oh, that's true. And so, again, you cover the bases. We've talked about having a WGN tour for a year now, so finally we get to have a mini tour with you.
Right.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank
you. Same here.
Thanks a lot, Big O. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Stay with us. More coming up. I resemble that remark.
I know you do.
I have never had any problem with any plumbing project I have ever attempted.
Because you've never attempted one.
And your point is?
Because you've all, and I agree with you, say that's why there are professionals.
Yeah.
I'm a professional radio dude. I wouldn't expect them to walk into a radio station and know how to run a radio station. And I don't think I'm going to try working on a toilet. So call a professional.
Okay.
By the way, I need to make a quick correction. Argon, A-R-G-O-N. I was calling Aragon, like the Aragon Ballroom. so that people don't get all lathered up. It's argon. Thank you. Argon. A-R-G-O-N. Thank you.
Ergo. Argon. Ergon. Whatever. We need to explain a little more about a couple things. One, we were talking about the some people have texted and they want to know about some other appearances, and some people also want to know about the special price for our book, A Little More or Less. So we should explain a couple things about that. One, the special pricing is in honor of my 50th anniversary behind a radio microphone. And our publishers have been nice enough to say since I started in 1966 that we could offer a special... What was that?
That's me.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm trying to stand my phone up in front of me and it's not cooperating. There.
That we could offer a special price of $19.66. Now, this price is only good through June. So, you know, basically today
and tomorrow,
that's it. And it is also only good if you order through WGNRadio.com/LesPaulBook or
alittlemorelesss.com or BantryBayBooks.com.
Or call 312-222-5073. 312-222-5073, okay? So, basically, just remember WGNRadio.com/LesPaulBook, and that's the only way you can get this special price, and you can only get it for
today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow.
That's right.
Then, for people wondering about some of the appearances that we've got going on, we should mention that this coming Sunday, the 5th, we are going to be in Wakanda to help the Wakanda Township Historical Society celebrate their 100th birthday. It'll be a special appearance book signing event being held at the Wakanda Township Hall at 505 Bonner Road in Wakanda.
They've moved us to the Township Hall because we hope that we're going to have a huge crowd. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful part of the world. It's
a great
Sunday drive to get out there. And if you're like me, you grew up going there to pick apples on beautiful Bangs Lake. And you can see how the area has changed, and it's still absolutely gorgeous. And the Historical Society has been working very, very hard. Kathy and the gang have been working hard to get the Historical Society ready for their 100th. And we're tickled that they invited us to come out and open it up.
Then, on Saturday, the 18th of June, as you just heard us talking with Orion, we'll be joining Orion for a fun morning appearance signing event at Breakfast on the Farm 2016. And that event is being held at the Drendel Farm at 15N057 Walker Road in Hampshire, Illinois. Then, on Saturday and Sunday in August, August 13th and 14th, we're going to be doing an appearance and book signing in Grays Lake at the Chicagoland Vintage Guitars, Vinyl Records, Classic Drums, Rock and Roll Memorabilia Show and Sale.
Something for everyone.
That's going to be a fun time.
That is.
And then into September, we're going to be doing an appearance, a book signing in Kenosha, Wisconsin at the Kenosha Public Museum at 5500 First Avenue in Kenosha. And if you want to find out more about all this, you can go to steveandjohnny.com, steveandjohnny.com. That's our personal homepage. When you get there, scroll down and click on events. Mm-hmm. And we constantly update. There are going to be a whole lot of things that are going to be added to that. But if you want to find out where we are and what we're doing, that's the way to find it out.
In fact, if you would like to email us, you'll find our addresses there as well. Email us at stevenjohnny.com. If you work with and for a library, maybe we haven't come to your library yet. We've done about a dozen libraries so far. Mm-hmm. We love coming out to libraries and speaking and also doing a book signing, and it's not just about our book. We find that when we go out to libraries, people want to know what Orion Samuelson is really like, and they want to take us back to the...
And we give you the unvarnished truth.
To the old days. So if in fact, you think that you'd like us to come out your way, just drop us a line. We'll see what we can do.
More coming up, including what we discovered about Bill Leff. Oh. So stay with us. We'll be right back. That's the sound of the men working on a chain gang. Sam Cooke.
This is a heck of a way to make a living, isn't it?
It is.
We were out during the break meeting up with our guest that will be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. And it's like the show is just slipping through our fingers. It's going by so fast.
And we have some unfinished business. We mentioned that we were going to disclose something we discovered about Bill Leff.
If you're by your computer or you have your phone in hand, go to, what's the name of the show?
Masters of Flip.
Kevin, do that. Masters of Flip. Because you work with,
I'm doing it right
with Bill
now.
And Wendy every day. And when you get to Masters of Flip, they might give you an option of images or their page or their Facebook page.
Now, we should explain. This is a show on HGTV, and it has to do with people who flip houses. In this case, this is a couple out of Nashville, and they will get a house in Nashville. And they will flip the house.
And we love Nashville, so the show really appealed to us.
Watching the show, the guy is Bill Leff. Bill has
Have you seen
another...
his... Come on.
Kevin?
I'm looking at it. I can see some similarities.
He's never without a hat.
Never without the hat. And when you hear his voice...
It's spooky.
His sense of humor...
It is spooky.
Bill has another job.
Well, the only
And
way
possibly
I...
another wife. So...
The only way I know it's not Bill is this guy must be handy working on houses, and Bill is notoriously not handy.
Ooh, but see, that's a good cover.
That's true.
That's a very good cover for him. I don't know what you're talking about. But if you watch the show, the guy really isn't all that handy because that's one of the problems the wife has all the time.
And the more we dug into it, we find out that they're a husband and wife, singer-songwriter duo from Canada. That's what they do. That's their main gig.
They came to Nashville to make
music. And to supplement their income, they wind up being house flippers and have this show on HGTV. And I swear, when you hear this guy talk, it's Bill Leff. Sense of humor, timing, everything. It is Bill Leff.
The face is so... they really look like they could be brothers. Twins. So for those of you at home, check it out. You back us up on this. We were going to get these guys on their show today. Then we thought, no, actually, we need to get Kevin to get them on the show with Bill and Wendy.
But the problem is, if you have this guy and Bill talking at the same thing, you're not going to know who's talking.
Really?
I'm not kidding. Their delivery is the same. Their sense of humor is the same.
But that's what kept us going back to the show. We said, is that our imagination? And then next thing you know, we're recording it because we're hooked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But those shows are very easy to get hooked on because you can vicariously sit there and say, oh, if only. But you're sitting there. You're not doing anything in your own home.
But every time we watch one of these shows, we know that they're going to buy this house and say, oh, this is a $200,000 house. And, okay, all we need to do is add $30,000 to that. And
so
we're going to flip this.
We make bets. We say, okay, how much more is, and, you know, Steve will say, well, it's going to be 50. And I'll say, oh, well, I think it's going to be 40. And that's part of the fun is
because they get into the basement and they discover that a wall is going to fall down.
It's like, surprise, there's no plumbing in this house. Why wouldn't you check that out before you buy it?
That's what amazes me because they always have their expert people come in and look through the house and they don't find the electrical problems or the drainage problems or the roof is about to collapse or
that's disturbing because if I did that for a living, I would not want to be on television and have that be my calling card. Oh, I'm the head contractor and I didn't happen to notice that there's no plumbing, that it's archaic and it all has to be replaced at a mere cost of, $30,000 or $40,000.
So,
it exhausts me watching the shows. I would literally say, oh, maybe someday I'll have the energy to do these things around our house.
But see, I enjoy watching it and saying, okay, see, they're doing a lot of work, aren't they?
That's right.
It's not me doing that work, so I don't have a problem with that. By the way, I just got a Facebook message. You know whose birthday it is today?
I do, because I'm a friend of his on Facebook.
Me too.
Dave Ennett.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dave Ennett. Happy birthday to you.
You have to pay for that now. That comes out
of
your... You don't?
I think it's back in public domain now.
Really?
Yeah.
All of those years that our lives were affected by...
You were just dinged by your phone?
All those years we would say, when we have birthday cake, don't sing happy birthday.
There was this whole court decision that came down, I want to say it was roughly 2 months ago.
Really?
Where some court decided, no, it's public domain.
Huh.
So all the people at Outback who came up with their own happy birthday song so they wouldn't have to pay the pretty substantial royalties.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, over the years, we would warn people, now we're going to have birthday cake, but do not sing even two bars of happy birthday because we have to pay big time for that. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that when you go to restaurants that they wouldn't sing happy birthday for fear that somebody would report them and they would have to pay for that. Well, things are getting right in the world. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Mm.
I hope things are right in your world today because it's a gorgeous day today, and it is Memorial Day. It's the unofficial start of summer. There are things going on today to recognize the fact that it is Memorial Day. The city of Chicago has a parade, and a lot of people aren't aware that the city of Chicago has a parade that steps off at 11 o'clock this morning at Daley Plaza, right at the Eternal Flame. Couldn't be a more appropriate place for the parade. You can arrive by noon for the big procession that will march down State Street from Lake to Van Buren, beginning at noon. And, of course, it's free. And this morning, Dave Schwann was reporting about at 9th and Michigan, the south end of Grant Park.
Are you hearing Corky's harmonica through the
year? I do. I feel like I've got music under my... Dave was reporting, and I'd love to drive by and see this today, Steve. 6,682 flags on display at 9th and Michigan, end of Grant Park, and said it's just a beautiful display.
We may have to swing by there as we're heading home.
And I want to get to the Harold Washington Library, because I've seen on Facebook Margaret Larkin one that used to work with us. She just went to the exhibit that's on the top floor at the Harold Washington Library. Hanging from the ceiling are thousands of dog tags.
I've seen that.
It's
that exhibit has been... I wonder, don't they leave that exhibit up year-round?
I don't know
I've seen that picture before. It's just stunning.
She put the picture up, and I just couldn't take my eyes off it to imagine that there are names imprinted on every one of those dog tags hanging from the ceiling. I mean, it's really powerful, and I hadn't heard about it. We've been out of the state for a couple of months. I don't know how long it's going to be there, but if you're downtown and you can get over to the library over the next few days, you want to go to the top floor and see this. If you're downtown today, get to the south end of Grant Park at 9th and Michigan for the 6,682 flags on display. And also, if you're coming down for the parade that starts at the Daley Plaza Eternal Flame at 11 o'clock this morning, the procession will start moving around noon. That's a really big procession. We are told this is one of the largest Memorial Day parades in the country.
And there's not that much publicity about it.
I know.
It surprises me.
We also have a parade on the near north side, the Wiggum's Parade.
Wiggum's Parade,
where everybody
which has been
gets
going on
march.
For how many years?
Yeah. Well, I know. My mother was in St. Joseph's Hospital when she pointed out that I was wearing white before Memorial Day. And I remember we sat in the window and watched the parade go by, and that was 35 years ago.
Larry Schreiner always used to report from that parade.
And this is the parade right in front of St. Joseph's Hospital on 2900 North Lakeshore Drive. It's absolutely free, and everybody is welcome to come and march in that parade. Now, that may be underway at 11 o'clock, so you'd have to really skedaddle to get over there and find parking. But, again, it's a wonderful tradition here in the city of Chicago.
Can you just daddle, or do you have to skedaddle?
You have to skedaddle. You do. You have to put on your skis and daddle.
And daddle.
Yes. Lean over here.
I'm just asking. I need to know this stuff.
Oh.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Peter in Decatur said, I just checked out Masters of Flip via On Demand, and I only watched about a minute or two, and OMG, you are so spot on about Bill Leff's doppelganger. It is uncanny. See?
Kevin, did you watch any of the video on the computer?
I tried to get some clips. I heard a short clip. It was kind of grainy of his voice.
It's the same.
I can definitely see that.
And understand when I say this. His wife often says to him, honey, you're not funny. I have a feeling that happens in Bill's house from time to time. Honey, you're not on stage.
Right.
You're not on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
So again, the show is Masters of. If you can't find that, go to. I'm sure it would be on HGTV's website. Go to I guess HGTV.com right. and look up Masters of Flip, and I think you'd be able to find it there and more information about them.
And thanks to a couple of texters this morning who wanted to know if we have up our Memorial Day tree. We do, and thanks for reminding me because we will put.
We
got to
post
up.
That. Well, because we have had so much stuff. We have been so busy. We got back to Chicago, a week ago, Saturday night?
Mm-hmm, at midnight.
And I know it's been a little over a week. We have been on the run. It's like we got on a treadmill since mm-hmm. we got back. And every single day we've had something else that we were involved with.
But I did put up the flag tree
yes.
Just in time for Memorial Day.
And I'll post that a little later today.
It stays up the month of June because June is flag month. It's mm-hmm. dairy month and it's flag month. I guess I could have a cow tree too. But I happen to love the flag tree. It's absolutely gorgeous. And yes, it is a 6-foot Christmas tree. And I do decorate it every month. It will stay up as the flag tree until the 4th of July. And then we will transition to the summer tree, but we will definitely get a picture up for those of you who reminded me today.
And speaking of Memorial Day, we're going to take a quick break and then something kind of special for
yeah.
Memorial Day. So stay with us at WGN.
Called him Sandy Kane. Few folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. Can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue. Some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. In my mind, that is probably the best thing that Billy Ray Cyrus ever recorded. Some Gave All.
Absolutely.
And we think it's an absolutely appropriate song for this Memorial Day.
And we've played it every Memorial Day since it came out on mm-hmm. the same CD that has Achy Breaky Heart on it.
Yep.
And if you've never heard the whole song, do yourself a favor and look it up, especially today, because... he did some good things with that song, too.
And on YouTube, there is also one of the versions has a really good video.
Yes.
That goes
yes.
with it, too.
He can be kind of goofy, but he was really, really serious about vets and about the cause of vets and recognizing them. And it is Memorial Day. And another thing that we've done over the years, and we did the all-night show for 27 years, and one of the things that we always did on Memorial Day, because it was a tradition that we worked the holiday, was we would open up the phones and ask you to call in and tell us who you would like to remember on this Memorial Day.
So we're going to do that right now for just a few minutes. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And just if you want to call and give a few words about someone you would like to remember
and
this Memorial Day.
You can also text us, and we'll be happy to read your texts. There's something that's kind of taken on life on a Facebook, and it's called the Empty Place or Empty Plate.
Yeah, I like this.
Remembrance. Mm-hmm. And I guess it goes back a few years, and it originally started out by an organization that wanted to remember POWs and MIAs. And this was probably 20 years ago. But now on Facebook, it's taken on this life that this is a good way to teach your children what Memorial Day is. It's not just the start of summer. It's not just a day that, oh, yeah, you can wear white. It's not just a day off school. And it's a very important and significant holiday. And one of the ways that you can teach your children is by setting a plate at your dinner, putting a couple of grains of salt in that plate, mm-hmm. and leaving that plate at the table and explaining to your children that this is to remember those who have died fighting for our freedoms. Mm-hmm. And the salt represents the tears that were shed over the loss of this person. And I think that that's a really powerful image. And I think for children, they would get it.
Yeah.
There was a book that came out a few years ago that kind of got the ball going. And it was for Vietnam vets and for POWs and MIAs. But again, if you try to impart the meaning of the day to your kids, that's one way you could go about doing it.
312-981-7200. If you want to give us a call and just a few words about someone you would like to remember. And we'll go to Bob in Naperville. Bob, you would like to remember someone on Memorial Day?
Yeah, I want to remember my brother. He was killed in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened when his platoon was hit by the Vietnamese. And a lot of his platoon members were hit and wounded and while the helicopters cleaned up the wounded, they gave him the signal to go ahead and turn around and come back into the helicopter, and he got shot right through the head.
Oh,
wow.
No.
And he was young, I bet.
Yeah, he was about 22, I believe, at the time.
I just heard yesterday on a broadcast, I think it was NASCAR, I came across this amazing statistic that the average age of a person who loses their life in the Army, I think they specifically said the Army, they said the average age is 21. Oh, my gosh, yeah. just a kid. Well, thank you for calling today, Bob, and I'm glad we could remember your brother.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we go to, let's see, this would be Brian. Brian, who did you want to remember?
Hi,
Brian.
Good morning. My dad. Didn't lose his life in World War II, passed a few years ago. He tail gunner in a B-17, a few Purple Hearts, shot down, POW, 6'3", weighed 96 pounds when he got out of
POW. Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
6'3" and under 100 pounds?
Yep.
And he survived and lived a long life. But had stories to tell if he chose to tell them. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He had shrapnel on his back for years.
Mm.
And, you know, Mom would pick it out when it came out.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Oh, along with the memories. Boy. Brian, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, Brian. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
And this is Rebecca. Rebecca?
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to say thank you to my father for serving in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the Army Air Force before the Air Force actually, you know, separated.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very proud of that.
Did he talk about that very often?
He was very proud of the fact that it was Army Air Force. And when he wore his hat, mm-hmm. people said, what? You know, he'd have to explain it to them.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Very proud.
Well, thank you for calling. Nice talking to you,
thank
Rebecca.
You.
Bye-bye now. Listener says, would you please mention my late husband, Alan Johnson? During Nam, he served in Thailand. That's from an 847 area code.
Susan, in Highland Park, you wanted to remember someone?
Well, my grandfather and uncle are buried at Arlington, and last night on the Memorial Park concert,
mm-hmm.
the Memorial Day concert, they featured Arlington Cemetery, and it was so moving. It was just so moving. I just want to remember everyone who's buried at Arlington, you know, Cemetery, and all those who you know, lost their lives for us.
Absolutely.
Know, for our freedom.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for calling, too, today. And a listener tells us that if you want to see a powerful display, it says you can see take a beautiful ride to Elwood and see 30,000 graves covered with American flags at the Abraham Lincoln Cemetery. 30,000.
Wow. Kathy, up in Addison, you wanted to remember someone on Memorial Day?
Yes, hi, this is Kathy, and I want to thank you for doing this. I'd never heard it before. It's really nice. But I'd like to remember my father. He was a World War II vet, and he died when I was very young. And I asked him many times, well, the family asked him to tell some stories. He would never talk about it. All I know is he was a pilot. And we found one of his old flight books with all the logs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and but that's all I know. I just know he was a World War II vet, and I never got to know him well, but I wish I had because I miss him.
Sure. Well, Kathy, I'm so glad you could call today. Thank you.
Just a few calls and just a few samples of some of the people who gave everything.
Well, this listener from 630 said, my father Alex and Uncle Joe, World War II and Korean War, both survived. So me, my siblings, and my cousins would celebrate their lives. Well said.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Had to play a little bit of that, taking us back to the old days.
Yes.
Doing overnight radio and hanging out with our buddy Corky Siegel.
We're in the Showcase studio this morning, and I just said to Corky Siegel, Chicago's own Corky Siegel, I said, I miss being in the other studio where we were side by side, elbow to elbow. But the problem with that is Steve would have to look over and say, kids, straighten up. We're doing a radio show here. Right, Corky?
That's what happens.
We would have fun because Corky and his buddy Holly would come in their PJs, and we would eat chocolate-covered strawberries and cake and...
Did we ever get a pickup? Because for people who don't know, Corky actually did, Corky and Holly actually did come in their PJs.
Yeah.
They really did.
Because they would nap and just figure, we'll just stop by the radio station, right?
Yeah.
You have been so busy. You came from Wisconsin to Michigan and now back to Chicago, right?
Yeah, but that's not that busy.
That's good busy, isn't it, Corky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're playing one of our favorite places tomorrow night.
The City Winery.
Yeah.
That's a great place.
Ours, too.
Well, have you heard that they're going to have the Corky Siegel Honorary Wine Bottle?
Really?
Yeah. That's what we're told. Your pictures will be on the wine bottle, and that you can can buy them, and you guys can sign them. And
neither Ernie nor I drink.
The Ernie that Corky is referring to is the legend, the two-time Grammy winner, Ernie Watts, with us in the studio. And Ernie, it is an honor to have you in our studio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. What a nice surprise when we talked to Corky and he said, well, can Ernie come? We said, yeah. Sure.
And you've got a career that spans everybody from Buddy Rich to the Rolling Stones and all stops in between, right?
That's right. They put on my itinerary there, they say, from Cannonball Adderley to Frank Zappa.
Wow.
So that covers the alphabet. You know? Isn't that cute?
I get the feeling that
Adderley to Zappa.
I get the feeling that just from the people that you've worked with, my sense of it is that you have the same attitude towards music that Johnny and I do, which is there are only two kinds of music, what you like and what you don't.
Right.
Everything else doesn't matter. All
That's
the labels.
That's right. It's totally relative and subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What got you into music?
I stumbled and bumbled into music. I was in junior high. I was in the seventh grade. I was with a friend of mine. It was the beginning of the school term, and he wanted to. They were lending instruments in the music department. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play the saxophone. I thought I wanted to play trombone because I probably saw the Tommy Dorsey story or something like that on TV.
Sure.
So we go down to the music department. I find out that they're all out of
trombones.
Mm-hmm. You know, my friend got a tenor saxophone, and so the teacher gave me a baritone saxophone because I was tall for my age, and he figured I could take it in marching band.
Wow!
I could carry it in marching band. So that's how I started.
What was there a moment, a performance or whatever, when it, in your mind it clicked? Yep, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life.
Well, I knew that early on, but a little bit later, after I had been playing a little bit, you know, I was about 15, 14, my mother got a Miles Davis album called Kind of Blue, and I heard John Coltrane, and that was it. I said, after I heard John Coltrane, I said, well, that's what I want to do.
So you just kept playing that album over and over?
Well, I kept playing that over and over, and I took my my lunch money and my allowance money, and I bought a John Coltrane record every week.
Oh.
My mother realized I wasn't going to quit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she bought me a little... You remember Sears used to have in their catalog, their music department, Silvertone?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you could get trumpets and all of those kind of things. She bought me a little record player. And it was stereo because the front of it came off, you know, and you put one speaker over here and the other speaker over
there. I had that same player.
And I'd take my Coltrane records and I'd stack them on the little stacker every night as I went to sleep. And I'd turn the record player down really low and I'd listen to Coltrane every night as I went to sleep.
That's a scene
so that's
in the
how
movie.
I got into it, you know.
You're my kind of guy. I still do this
he
now,
does.
Only with CDs. I
right.
got to go to sleep to, you know,
sure.
something
And I have to
on.
Go to sleep to the whirring, the white noise of the whirring of the CD going round and round.
Corky, how did you two meet?
Well, here we go. We met in India.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
And, I was on tour, as Ernie was going to be, with Dr. L. Subramaniam, the famous and virtuoso violinist who plays Millennium Park often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his wife, Kavita Krishnamurti, who is a famous Bollywood singer. And we were on doing a bunch of different places in India in his project called Global Fusion, where he brings in many different elements into the Indian style of music. And Ernie shows up on the tour. But during a rehearsal, so I didn't get to say hello to him or anything. And first of all, I'm thinking, oh my God, Ernie Watts. Oh my God, it's Ernie Watts. And then, but he also looked pretty mean. You know, focusing during the rehearsal, and I was really intimidated. And so we had a chai break, and this was my opportunity. I have no idea what came over me. It just, something came over me. I took the little tie, the little styrofoam cup, and held it like it was an expensive teacup. And
with your pinky out.
With my pinky out, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I went over to Ernie, and I have no idea what came over me. I said, Mr. Watts, would you like to join me for some chai? And Ernie responded.
I said,
yes, that would be fine. I'd enjoy that a lot.
That was the end of that.
You realize he's not all that scary.
You know, well, we bonded immediately.
Just listening to your voices, it sounds like two Muppets talking.
I know, it's Bert. Right. And Corky plays the part of Bert.
Right.
We
Bert
are
Marty.
Two Muppets.
Right.
We are two Muppets. Jazz Muppet and Blues Muppet.
Oh, gosh. For people who are going to come out and see you on Tuesday night, that's just it. They get the best of both. They get jazz and blues melded together, right, Corky?
Yeah, they get jazz and blues juxtaposed along with classical juxtaposed.
Yeah. Right.
So you sort of hear the three elements happening at once. You have no idea what's going on, which is the point.
Yeah, yeah. Ernie, were you familiar with Corky and his harmonica playing before you met in India?
No, because I was... When I was a kid, I was listening to Miles Davis and Coltrane and Eric Dolphy and Coleman Hawkins and all of those people. So, you know, and then when I was about 19 or 20, I left the Berklee School of Music and joined Buddy Rich's band, and I was with Buddy Rich for 2 years. So I was, like, totally entrenched in the jazz thing.
Right.
And so, you know, the other forms of music, I just was not really open to at that time. So I wasn't aware of Corky until we got together in India.
So while you were entrenched in that jazz world, Corky, you were here in Chicago, and you were just sucking up everything you could about Willie Dixon and you name it, all of the right. wonderful names right here in the city of Chicago, Howlin' Wolf, all these guys that you wanted to work with. Is that correct?
Well, it sort of happened that way.
Yeah,
I was more naive than you describe, more selfish and more naive. I just wanted to play some blues. I was just learning about it, and I showed up with my partner, Jim Schwall, and we just walked into this place. It was a bar on this 43rd and Vincennes mm-hmm. in 1965.
Yep.
And we walked in and we said, we want to play. And it was in the afternoon. He says, well, set up right now and play. I want to hear you. So we set up our little two-man band thing, and he hired us to play every Thursday night. And here's Pepper Show Lounge. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate blues club in the world. I don't even know that. I think it's just a tavern. And so we're
ignorance
playing.
Is bliss, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so from 9 at night till 4 every Thursday night, 4 in the morning.
Wow.
We were on stage, and who would come to sit in? Howlin' Wolf. I had a Howlin' Wolf album and a Muddy Waters album, Jimmy Reed album. Howlin' Wolf comes and sits in. Muddy Waters comes and sits in. Willie Dixon comes. And then this fella comes and sits in, and he's a harmonica player, and he said, I want to sit in. And I said, you seem like you've been really drinking a lot. And the audience goes, hey, that's Little Walter.
Oh. And hello.
I'm thinking, who's Little Walter?
Oh.
So that's what I mean by naive. And then yeah. I had him sit in, and I went, oh, my God, that's Little Walter. Uh-huh. So I was just more I never paid attention to people's names or mm-hmm. the history. I just was listening to the sounds, and that was pretty much it.
What an education.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had all these blues masters come and sit in and take us under their wing. And really, that's how I got my start, because I was just learning to play.
And I love to tell the story about you and Steve and your lives colliding.
Oh, yeah, that's
as musicians. We'll tell that. Should we take a break and we'll come back and,
yes.
and tell the rest of the story?
You know, we should have had a video camera set up here, because Corky is doing this wonderful lip sync along with
well,
that song.
He kind of knows this song.
You kind of know the drill.
Yes, that, of course, is Corky Siegel. And Corky, we got a text from a 615 area code that says, is this the Corky of Siegel Schwall? Yeah, that's the gym that you were talking about, right?
Yeah. Depends on what you want.
That's right. If you're collecting money, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
And Corky and Ernie Watts are going to be appearing at the City Winery on Tuesday. What time is show times?
I have no idea.
Holly?
It's Holly. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
One
8
show, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Good
yeah,
deal.
Two sets.
And if you've never been to the City Winery, let me tell you, just as an aside. It's,
what a great place.
And it's hard to get parking in this area, but there you pull up. The valet takes your car for like $10.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just a great place.
Oh. And
food is good.
Sound is amazing.
Sound is terrific. Sight yeah. lines are terrific, too.
Yeah.
And it's one of those places where, and I would compare it to Space up in Evanston,
yes.
in that people go there to listen.
Listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimate. It has an
yeah.
intimacy to it. It's really fun place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ernie, we were talking about some of the people that you have worked with. And Corky talked about how he was kind of intimidated going up to say hello to you. Were you ever intimidated by, you know, from Buddy Rich to the Stones? Was there anybody that when you found out you were going to be performing with this person, you thought, oh, really?
No.
Okay, all right.
Good.
End of that.
Okay, so
well,
Mick Jagger, I think, would have
basic,
to be.
It's basically because music is governed by the same, all music is governed by the same laws of theory and harmony. Mm-hmm. A D minor 7 is a D minor 7 to the Rolling Stones, Quincy Jones, Count Basie, Beethoven, Mozart, and Bach.
Mm-hmm.
So if you study and you practice and you learn your craft, then whatever element you're in, you're prepared.
Okay.
So I was never really intimidated in that way. In fact, I was overtrained.
Okay.
You know, I practiced so much and I studied so much that everything that I was called upon to do, I was already prepared for because of all the time and the study of music that came before it.
Okay, then let me rephrase that. If not intimidated, was there anyone who, when you found out you were going to have the opportunity to work with them, that you were really excited, looking forward to? Oh, cool, I get to...
Yeah, I was excited with working with Cannonball Adderley because I listened to him and grew up listening to him. Yeah. I was very excited playing with Thelonious Monk.
Oh.
I was very excited playing with and traveling with Oliver Nelson, who is a great composer and a great saxophonist, and I spent a lot of time with him, and we did a State Department tour of Africa in 1969. People like that, because that's where my values were. That's where I came from, you know. So those kind of things really excited me.
I'm not asking this in a National Enquirer kind of way. I have always heard that Buddy Rich could be a rather rough taskmaster. Is that true or not so much? Or?
Well, I'll tell you what he said. He says there's 24 hours in the day. He needed us to be responsible citizens for 4 hours out of the day. He said the other 20 hours you can do anything you want. You know, you can set your hair on fire and jump out of the window. As long as the 4 hours that night, you came and you did the gig and you wore shoes and you look like a presentable person.
Yeah.
Well, some of the guys had so much fun the other 20 hours of the day that they had a lot of trouble making the four, right? So sometimes one of the guys was out of line, so he would get angry, okay? The only problem that he had was that he could not get angry, make his point, and then let it go. He would get some sort of endorphin rush or something like that from anger, and it would build up. And that was the only thing. And I never had any problem with him because I didn't bother anybody. All I did was practice all the time. That's the only thing that ever bothered everybody. Was like, oh God, it's Ernie. He's in the damn hotel room practicing again. You know,
making us look bad.
Get him out of there.
That's great. Do you still practice every day?
Every day.
Sure.
If I'm not traveling, I have a minimum that I try to practice of 2 hours a day. I tell everybody that I have to practice 2 hours a day not to get any worse. And then if I want to get better, I add time to that. Yeah, so I do that. That's my life, though. You know, that's like, it's become my life. It's sort of like a meditation. If I don't practice, I feel really strange. You know, it's become that sort of a thing for me.
Well, I'm going to guess that you haven't practiced yet today, but we're going to take a break for the news. And when we come back, we're going to ask you guys to play for us live on the radio.
So I can practice on the radio.
Yeah, you can do that. We love that.
That'll be great. Everybody will get to hear me practice.
Ernie Watts and Corky Siegel in the studio with us, and you can see them at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at the City Winery right here in Chicago.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio in the studio with us. Ernie Watts and Corky Siegel, and you can see both of them Tuesday night, 8 o'clock at City Winery in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie, I love the way this was recorded.
Oh, thank you.
Every now and then I'll hear something and I'll say, gee, that's too much of a digital sound, but this has a nice warm sound to it.
Yeah, it's all acoustic. I mean, it's real people playing instruments together at the same time.
What a concept.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. You are singing my song. I can appreciate all of the latest technology, but boy, it's so nice to hear something where somebody opens a microphone, people are in the studio, and they start playing, and you record that performance,
right,
as opposed to tracking and tracking and tracking.
Right.
You know what's even better?
What?
Live. As opposed to dead.
Yes, thank you.
Ba-da-ba.
Well, you guys want to do something for us?
Well, they have been nice enough to say that I could grab a guitar and...
That's right.
And you talk about feeling intimidated.
No.
Color me intimidated.
No, no, no. Remember, I'm going to have to throw Ernie's words back up at you from time to time.
You shouldn't
say
feel
intimidated. Right. You know, a D is a D. I don't care who you are.
D minor is D minor.
That's right.
And Steve? You better get it right.
Oh, Corky, thanks. Or this will, as a Catholic kid, he'll relate. This will go on your permanent record.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Steve broke out his guitar. We call her Monroe because she's blonde and shapely.
That's great.
A curvy blonde.
Yes.
Right.
So now, and this is a little different than, here's my excuse for the day.
No excuse.
A little bit different because, okay, I need to. Because
he's... Intimidated.
No, because I'm also engineering.
Oh, so, right. He's so engineering and playing at the same time.
Let me do this. Okay, and I'm going to add a little bit of reverb over here, boys and girls, just to see. 1, 2. Okay. We are now in the reverb hall.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we'll see where this goes. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
just note all the dogs on the north side would be, what's going on?
Well, that was fun.
Wow, that was fun.
Yeah,
you guys make it look so easy.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, thank you guys for letting me hang out and and pretend like I know what I was doing. That was fun.
Ernie, fooled him again.
Jason wants to know if you're the Ernie Watts that he saw when he was in college with Pat Metheny back in the early 80s.
Yes.
Yes, you would be the one and only
I'm
Ernie
the one.
Watts.
Guilty again.
Yeah. You worked with Pat for some time. Was
off and on for a couple of years, but we didn't get a chance to record. It was Pat and Charlie Hayden and myself and Paul Weirdico.
Paul from Chicago.
You're kidding.
Yeah, they played together.
Paul's a dear friend.
Yeah, he's a great, great
player. There was one night, he came in, and I forget who else was in the studio. But
Larry Coryell.
It might have been, I don't know. But he didn't bring any drums in.
Right.
And we said, okay, and it came time to perform, and he said, okay, I'll take this phone book, and I'll take that paper bag and a garbage can. And it was wonderful stuff.
Yeah. He was crazy good. He was playing with the guitar-playing priest.
Oh, John Mulder.
Mulder, yes.
Yes.
The one and only guitar playing
who
priest.
Organizes the Chicago Jazz Festival.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Why am I winded? I didn't do anything but sit here, and I'm like, whoa, my heart's racing.
Well, Johnny's playing the part of the groupie.
That's true. That was some good music. Thank you, guys. Corky Siegel and Ernie Watts will be at the City Winery in Chicago on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And, Corky, you're all over the place this summer. You've been especially busy, it seems. And people can follow you on Facebook and Chamber Blues. And
right.
Now, are you doing... Is that group with you at City Winery, the Chamber Blues?
It's chamberblues.com. That's the website.
Yes.
Chamber Blues is string quartet and Frankie on East Indian tabla and Ernie. And it's sort of a juxtaposition of classical and blues and jazz for tomorrow night. And it's just a lot of spontaneity and a lot of exploration.
And a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the important thing.
If they come, when they come, and I know they will, they'll just have to be ready to have more fun than they thought was possible.
Thank you.
I believe that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Corky, how many years has Frankie been with you?
About 30.
On tablas? Seriously?
Yeah.
And he never ages. I mean, I see pictures and I go, wait.
Oh, he's aging now.
Because he's not here to defend himself. Again, the music is keeping him young, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's
so
good. Remember the night we had the entire Chamber Blues Quartet in the other studio?
In fact, I think you were setting it. You needed to do a rehearsal for a particular song, and that's when we had the piano
had
in the
piano.
Other studio.
Right.
Remember? And it was fun.
Because this is a weird setup, because all this glass, you imagine it just kind of bouncing around, which is a different world than being in an isolated studio.
Same question for both of you.
Okay.
You have both performed, recorded with any of a number of performers. Who haven't you performed or recorded with that is on your wish list?
I can answer that for Ernie and for myself.
Oh, okay.
I haven't recorded with almost everybody. And Ernie hasn't recorded with nobody.
A double negative. He has not recorded. The scary
so
thing
you
is,
explain, you
I understood
interpret.
It, yes, the
no,
double
go
negative.
Ahead, go ahead.
There are still people. I really love Keith Jarrett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd like to, I would like to do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few other people, but I think Keith is the main person that I'd like to spend some time with music,
But I'll tell you, you just put on music with saxophone, at least half the time it's Ernie, because he's recorded with almost everybody.
Yeah. I was just thinking, your attitude towards music, and I wonder if this went through your mind, hon. There's one person I would love to see you perform with, and it's a name you probably, you might know, but I wouldn't be surprised if you don't. Have you ever heard of Tommy Emmanuel?
You know, I think I've heard of him, but I'm not familiar with him.
Tommy is one of the most
does.
Amazing guitarists you will ever see in your life. He will do more with just a single guitar, and he can do rock, classical, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just all over the map. He's just scary good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to put the two of you together and see what would happen.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Got a great text here from a listener in a 319 area code. Says, Ernie, from one tenor player to another, I have loved, in capital letters, your playing for years. The Tootsie soundtrack was one of the first places I heard you as a young high school player. Such a personal and identifiable sound. No one sounds like you. This is a text now, Ernie, and we continue. And one you may or may not remember, your alto solo on Patti Austin's Smoke Gets in Your Eyes is a study in beauty, lyricism, and simplicity, all in the course of only four bars, if I remember correctly. Gives me chills. Hope to meet you and hear you live someday. Thanks for having him on, S&J. And that's from John Carlson.
Well, that's kind.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Yes, thank you
and
very
much. And I
can
follow that up for John. Is my sound engineer, who is an amazing genius. I've been working with him since 1973. Mm-hmm. All he cares about is sound. That's mm-hmm. all he cares about. And he, you know, Ernie and I, we just, the new CD that's coming out in February, that's when it's planned. It's finished, but, you know, Ernie played on it. And Ken Gores made the comment, Ernie sounds like all the other saxophone players think they sound when they play.
Wow. So when is that going to be called? What's it called?
February. Right now it's called Different Voices, and we have many guests on the CD, including Sandeep Das from Yo-Yo Ma, you know, that founded Silk Road with Yo-Yo Ma, and we have Marcella Detroit singing Lay Down Sally that she wrote with Eric Clapton.
Cool.
So it's a bunch of stuff like that. But Ernie's cut called Missing Persons Opus 26 is leading off the recording.
Nice.
Very cool.
And if we have a show next December around the holidays, which we often do, we'll get you in here for a preview of the CD.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. However it's done. I don't know how it's done, but I'm on the wave. You know?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to take a break. More to come. Stay with us at 720 WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. No, we didn't use any music bump because when you've got this kind of music talent in the studio and you've only got a few minutes, you want to give the talent a chance to do whatever it is they want to do.
And I want to quickly mention for a couple of people who've texted in, you can go to citywinery.com and get information on tickets. And there are different levels of tickets. It ranges from VIP tickets to reserved seats. But I'm here to tell you, because we are just blown away by this venue, there's not a bad seat in the house. So if after the show today you call and say, what, there's only the $36 tickets left? Don't worry. You're going to be able to hear, as a musician, Corky, you backed me up on this.
Yeah.
Acoustically, it's really sweet in that room.
Yeah, it's a great room. We really love it.
Corky Siegel and Ernie Watts are with us in the studio, and you're going to do a little something to leave us tapping our toe.
We have no idea what we're doing, but here we go. We're going to do it anyway.
Good. Thank you.
All right. You just wow. get us in the groove, and I'm like moving. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's it. They're going to kick us out of the studio.
It's like I want to see some animation done to that, like this little conversation between these two Muppets going back and forth.
Well, that was just the animation.
No, okay.
That was it.
That was it.
You guys, thank you so much for coming by. I know it's been a busy, busy weekend for you. And when we found out we were doing the show and we reached out to Corky, and I think you were in a Cracker Barrel when we talked to you.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. You were waiting to be seated. And you turned to Ernie and you said, you want to do it? And Ernie said, uh-huh. And I said, yes, I don't believe this.
Ernie and Patricia, they live in California. They don't have Cracker Barrels out there. And there's they do it, so.
Right. Yeah. We now, like the biscuits.
Yes. Who doesn't? Now, Ernie, you're going back to L.A. after you leave, after the winery on Tuesday?
Yeah, we travel on the train for our domestic work. So
nice.
So we go back on the train, get to L.A., and then I have a concert the next day, and then we get to go home. We live in a little town of 6,000 people on the central coast of California called Cambria. So then we'll go home and get some rest.
Do you break out your saxophone on the train?
No, it's not safe.
No, I would imagine.
Yeah, because the train, you know, if the train lurches, and then you have to see your dentist.
Yeah. That's a whole other story, yeah.
Yeah, that's another story.
You never want to lick a knife.
No.
I know that. Ouch! That's a bad habit I have, so you have to forgive me.
Okay. Well, the next time you're in Chicago, you got to stop by our place. Johnny makes the best biscuits and gravy that you will ever have.
Pretty good, yeah.
The brownies aren't bad either.
We're in.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
We're in.
You guys, Tuesday night, City Winery right here in Chicago, and check it out. Not a bad seat in the house. You're going to have a great time, as Corky said. Just come to have a good time, and you're going to be surprised.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.